Chapter 3 Faithful. The last silver saint leaned back in his chair, crossing one long leg over the other as he brushed a lock of black hair from his eyes. Jean-François could feel the man watching as he drew smooth lines across a blank page. A portrait of grim Kernheim, its mighty towers wreathed in snow and mystery. Are you ready for this, vampire?
Ready for what? De Leon,
the Marquis asked, not looking up. Hard truths. The vampire scoffed.
I was not aware there was any other kind.
I knew a man once. Père Douglas Amergen. The last silver saint lifted the bottle of Monet, topped up his goblet as he spoke. He was a brother of the Order of Our Lady of Miracles, accompanied the Nine Swords armies in the Ossian campaigns. Young fellow, about my age. I was barely more than a boy back then. And while I fancied myself a true believer, Père Douglas put my devotion to shame. He didn't even fight with a sword, the mad cunt. The only thing he carried into battle against the dead and their minions was the silver wheel around his neck. And, I tell you, that thing shone brighter than the aegis of most silver saints I've known. He was a beacon, a flame of faith. I asked him once how he managed it, how he could run at a wall of thrall swords barehanded without fear. Why fear death, he told me, when beyond lies the kingdom of God? Douglas fought with us for a year. Never picked up a weapon, not once. He charged the sea wall at Baisita, helped break the line at Saithton, made it through the assault on Duncraig without a damn scratch, all the way to Trio Bailey. And then he saw those slaughter farms, those cages, what the Divock had done to their captives, what God had allowed them to do. I found him behind one of the grindhouses, the abattoirs where the cold bloods took the bodies of the dead and turned them into food for the living. Gabriel downed his goblet in one draught, swallowed with a wince. There was a pit, 100 foot square, I don't know how deep, filled with bones. Men, women, children, thousands, tens of thousands, scraped clean of every scrap of meat and then boiled for broth, just fucking. The last silver saint hung his head. It took a long slice of silence before he found voice again to speak. Père Douglas was knelt in the middle of it, black robes on that sea of white. I watched him reach up to that wheel that had shone like silver flame and tear it from his neck, drop it into those bones. I called his name as he walked away. He met my eyes and the look in his... Sweet Mother Maid, I'll never forget it. Not rage. Not sorrow. Heartbreak. We found him next day, out in the dead woods. He'd taken some soldier's sword, the only weapon he'd ever picked up, put out his own eyes, and then fell on it.
I take it there is a point to this tale of woe, Jean-François asked, other than to showcase the savagery of the untamed. Gifts are not all alike, De Leon. We are not...
Point is, Gabriel interrupted, it's a difficult thing to have your faith shattered.
And you think you will shatter mine? The Marquis chuckled,
bloodless and cold.
To paraphrase your young Mademoiselle Lachance in regard to her, Jean-François waved at his chest, a feminine accoutrements, one must have a thing to lose a thing, Gabriel.
The last silver saint poured himself another glass with steady hands, drawing a deep breath as if before the plunge. Have it your way, cold blood. So, Dior and I stood in Genoa's chapel, the storm raging outside, the shadow of the terrors growing longer all the while. Lightning arced across stained glass, painting all in blood red and shades of long-lost blue. I could see hesitation in my sister's eyes now. Fear. But Dior met that cold stare with her own, sitting among the chapel pews and folding her arms, expectant.
All this was told me by my master Wulfric, Selim began. And after a decade of service, and but a scrap of the knowledge I might have attained had he lived, by sharing these truths I break a covenant, a sacred trust from master to Lyath.
Get on with it, Selene,
Dior spat. My sister breathed deep. Thunder rolled above.
The first kith to walk this earth numbered not four, but five.
Selene stared down at her open palms, a voice soft as velvet.
The first dwelled in the peaks of northern Elidane, building a dark dynasty by the name of Voss. One called the wilds home, communing with beasts of earth and sky and begetting the line, Shastan. Another claimed the frozen wastes of Talhost, carving the blood-soaked name of Divok among the terrified populace. The fourth dwelled in the city ports of Sutaim, there weaving the endless webs of the blood Elon. But the last of the Praeorum would claim no dominion, wandering the earth and falling into darkness with her firstborn brood child and love of her life. Her name was Ilya, and his, Tanith.
Selene dug her claws into her skin, and the blood flowed, heady, thick, weaving from her upturned palms into a pair of figures, male and female.
Ilya had been a deeply wicked woman in life. Some rumors even held it she was an acolyte of the fallen, her knights devoted to bloody sin and bloodier idolatry. After they became, she and Tanith lived as betrothed, wandering the realm and glutting themselves upon the blood of the living. Their devotion to each other was the single spark of humanity in a life of ever-deepening brutality and decadence.
The figures in Selene's hands wove together, locked in a lover's embrace.
But after centuries of darkness, Ilya came to see unlife as an abomination, and herself a prisoner, locked in purgatory unending. Rather than depravity, she sought meaning in eternity.
She nodded to the statue above the altar, the Son of God upon his wheel.
And she found it among the teachings of the One Faith, now spreading across the realm in the wake of the Redeemer's martyrdom. Ilya reasoned eternal life might not be a curse, but a gift, to be spent in search for the salvation of her damned soul.
The female figure slipped from her lover's arms and sank to her knees on Selene's palm, praying.
She consulted prophets, priests, the pages of the testaments, seeking a salve for the emptiness in her heart, and finally, deciding that her thirst was a testing from God, she declared she would no longer sate it on the blood of innocence. Her brood children pleaded that she feed. Even her beloved Tanith came to her, begging that she see reason. And haunted by visions, tormented by the memory of her countless past misdeeds, and driven to blind frenzy by her rising thirst, Ilya murdered her beloved, drinking him to ashes.
The figure rose and struck at her lover like a viper, latching onto his throat. And as Dior and I watched, the male form was drawn into the female until nothing remained. Selene met my eyes with hers, cold and lifeless.
The priori was stricken with grief. But soon after the murder, Ilya realized if she listened, she could hear Tanith's voice in her head. And even though Kith do not dream, her beloved would visit Ilya in her sleep, whispering she had not destroyed, but saved him. Ilya reasoned she now carried Tanith's soul within her body,
and that by consuming him she had spared him the fires of damnation that await all kith after death. Naming her deed communion, Ilya believed God had shown her the purpose of her existence just as she'd prayed for, and she declared it the duty of all her line to redeem those other poor souls fallen to the vampiric curse, consuming their bodies and carrying their spirits safe within until the day of judgment promised in the testaments. Some of her brood came to see, as Ilya did, devoted to the salvation of their eternal souls. Those who refused, Ilya simply slew and consumed. For the next 2 centuries, while war raged across 5 kingdoms and 7 martyrs died to bring the one faith to the corners of the mortal world, the Ilii hunted and slew countless vampires of the other lines in what became known as the Red Crusade. Blood sluiced back into Selene's palms as she gestured around us. My eyes roamed the bas-reliefs, vampires fighting and killing and dying. I saw figures in the battles now, latched onto each other's throats like leeches, and I recalled Selene digging into Rickard's neck on the mare like same. The ecstasy in her eyes as she drank him to dust. Insanity. Insanity and bloody depravity. Dior took out a cigarette from her case and lit it, breathing deep and exhaling grey. She fixed my sister with eyes like blue diamonds. So, what do I have to do with any of this? Everything, Selene replied. She gestured again to the carvings, the warring cold bloods, the teeth and ashes. Ilya's crusade met with frightening success. A vampire's heart's blood thickens in consuming another's, and those who drank the souls of other kith were blessed with the blood gifts of their victims. Vampires of the other lines were drawn to the teachings of the priori, and Ilya proclaimed them her Laethi, her knights, her crusaders. The Ilii became less a bloodline and more a religion.
A cult, I muttered. A madness.
As you like it, Selene replied.
Gabe, is all this true?
Dior whispered. I sighed, looking to the walls around us. She speaks of the time before Empire, the centuries following the Redeemer's death, 800 years gone. The library in Saint Michon made no mention of any of this, but it made scarce mention of the Asani either.
This is truth, Cherie, Selene promised, gifted to me not by the pages of some dusty tome scratched by mortal men, but spoken by those who lived it.
Survived it, you mean? I growled. Something happened to this Ilya and her bastard cult. Else I'd have heard a whisper of all this before now.
My ancestor,
Dior realized, looking toward that crest on the doors.
Hassan.
Selene nodded.
You have wisdom, Cherie.
Tell me, Dior demanded. Tell me the rest of it.
My sister sighed, bowing her head.
The wars of the faith were won. The warlord, Maximil de Augustin, had forged 5 feuding kingdoms into a single empire, united under a single religion, and his descendants ruled with iron fists from atop their 5-fold throne. But in the depths of Talost, rebellion was brewing against the Augustan dynasty.
I scowled, remembering Père Raffa's lessons in Windfail.
The Avsenkt heresy.
Selene nodded.
Mortal descendants of the Redeemer's daughter, Isan, hidden long centuries and by now a dynasty unto themselves. Their ancestor was the Prince of Heaven himself, and they believed it their right to rule the kingdoms of the earth. Faced with this threat, the mortal church and the Augustins declared Essan's descendants heretics. All around the realm, armies of faithful soldiers were raised to purge their blight, and Ilya became convinced that here, at last, lay her chance at redemption. Renaming her brood the Essana, the faithful, Ilya and her Laethe threw their weight behind the Redeemer's line, seeking to protect them and finally redeem themselves. But in the shadows, opposition to Ilya's brood had been building for centuries. There is no love lost between the courts of the blood, yet in the wake of the Red Crusades, even the most paranoid of elders came to see the faithful as a threat. An alliance was forged. A cadre of Ancien and Medier, mustered from among the four other lines. Calling themselves the Knights of the Blood, they descended on Talhost to purge Ilya's brood from this earth. They were led by a fearsome Capitaine, legendary among the Kith even then, cold of hand and iron of heart. Salem pointed to the reliefs again, and among those warring figures I saw a youth, beautiful, terrible, carrying a blade in one hand and a raven on the other. Fierce eyes, fangs bared. Only an artist's rendition, but skillful enough for me to recognize him. Fabien, I hissed. The Forever King, Selene nodded. Fearful of the Asana's growing power, hateful of the love and light of God, dragging a rabble of blind and envious fools into the ruin of all our kind. And this conflict, mortal against mortal, vampire against vampire, would be known in the pages of Kith history as the Wars of the Blood.
Wars that Ilya must have lost, I said, because those same histories call her brood the Asani, not Asana. Faithless, not faithful.
Is that why Voss wants me? Dior gazed about, bewildered. Some holdover from a heresy that ended centuries ago.
We know not why the Forever King hunts you, and Master Genoa took any wisdom he held about it to his grave.
Selene looked to those ashes, the fragments of that verse crushed upon the floor, and she sighed.
There are no answers to ending day's death here. Nothing of truth remains in these halls.
Kneeling before Dior, Selene squeezed her hand.
But have faith, Cherie. These trials are sent by God to test us, and we will not fail him. There is one other of the Asana within our reach, the eldest of us, Priory of the Faithful, mother of monsters and broodchild of Ilya herself. If any on this earth know the truth of what you must do to bring back the sun, it is she. We must find her, Dior. We have no choice now. We must seek Mistress Marin and Dun May again.
I scowled, bristling at the sight of Selene's hand on Dior's. Dun May again has fallen, Selene. The Black Heart and his brood took it months back. And why the hell would we try? My sister tensed, snaking to her feet just as my own ears pricked up. I heard it too now, clawed and padded feet thumping swift on the floors. I turned to see Phoebe barrel through the chapel doors at full sprint, talons scratching on slick stone as she brought herself to a halt at Dior's feet. The lioness was damp with snow, flanks steaming from what had obviously been a flat sprint for God knew how many miles. Dior crushed out her smoke, knelt at the dusk dancer's side.
Phoebe?
Sunset was still a few hours away. The dusk dancer would be trapped in her wheeled shape until then, unable to talk. Instead, the lioness unsheathed her claws and raked furrows into the stone floor. Two long scores, meeting at a point. The letter V.
The Voss,
Dior whispered, looking to me.
They found us.
Only a matter of time, I breathed deep, stood taller, trying to buoy her spirits. But no fear. We've good defensive position here, ancient blades and cold blood magics and dancer claws. And old as Alba and Elaine are, at least there's only two of them. Phoebe met my eyes then, glittering gold. And as the lioness growled, so deep and low I could feel it in my gut, my heart sank down to join it. How many? I sighed. In reply, Phoebe tore at the floor with her talons once more, dozens of knuckle-deep scores ripped into ancient stone, over and over and over again. Thunder rocked the walls. Dior met my eyes. Too many.